Okay, so we're going to look at Luke 2:36. I'm going to start with Anna. We were with Simeon because I want to talk about a specific part of Anna that transfers into all of our lives. Do come on Wednesday. We're going to have a lot. I believe the Lord's going to meet us. And do go have lunch so that we can feast together, because this is going to be the ultimate Italian. Everything here is ultimate or fantastic or beyond belief. You've never had it before. But Rosie's in charge, so I guarantee it is the ultimate. Okay, so Father, I thank you for what you want to do and pray you would keep me on task. You would accomplish through the Holy Spirit the words you want to speak, the life you want to give, the truths you want to reveal. Holy Spirit, we invite you because you are the great communicator of Jesus. And if you start talking, we want to listen. And we know that you talk in the midst of the sound, and you talk in the midst of our heart, and you speak from the scripture, and you speak from the revelation of Christ in scriptures and from yourself to us until we meet Jesus. And that's what we want to do today, meet you in the fresh and the fullness of who you are and what you've become, so we might walk with you in this new place that you've prepared for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 2, verse 36, Simeon has just blessed baby Jesus, 40 days old, handed him back to his mom. He's blessed the parents. Now he spoke a prophecy to Mary, and then it says there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years old. So she's 84. That's not often, you know, I'm sure she was appreciative of those numbers put up there. Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. We talked a lot about these are the people we want to grow up to become. The ones who not only carry God themselves, but can recognize God in others and call forth and encourage others to see God in others. Simeon saw the promise that he held, and he said, I'm holding salvation. I can go in peace. I can go forward, and I can let go. She now comes in and agrees with that. She testifies of that. If you go back to verse 37, verse 38, right. But she testifies, and now then she starts to speak to everybody else that, hey, we are in the most incredible moment we've ever been. Cammie and I have had a lot of time, more time to be quiet and be with the Lord. And I feel the Lord is showing some principles in the scripture that he wants to really bring forward to our enjoyment. And so often we lose the opportunity to embrace them because they're not on our current bucket list. They're not on the first five of the things we really want done. We think that if the circumstances change or if that one prayer gets answered in the way we want it answered, then we will find happiness. And even when they do, they don't. Because there's only happiness in one person, that's Jesus. To know him, to meet him, to become more of him. And what happens here in this moment is that Anna comes in. She confirms what Simeon said. She gives thanks to the Lord for what is happening. And then she begins to speak to others to encourage them in agreement of what was happening. And I believe when we carry what Anna carries and when we carry what Simeon carries, we carry hope. And we see people and we don't see their problem. We see the glory that they've been ushered into through Jesus Christ. We see the future. We see the promise. And we can call that forward because everybody's got to walk through life as they unfold who Christ is. So in verse 27, I think, it talks about, can you go back one verse, please? It says, verse 26. No, we're Luke 2. Oh. Yeah, that was it. 36. See, you don't do what I say. Do what I mean. We raised 5 children, so that often. Okay, so she was a prophet. She was of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age. She lived with her husband, and now she was a widow, verse 37, 84 years, and she did not depart from the temple, but served. And that's the word I want you to see, served God with fastings and prayer night and day. She had been called into, we don't know when this began, but we now know that she's continued for a long time. So she's got a good place that she's been given to hold in Christ, and she's bringing, she's now able to walk in the Spirit and begin to open the door for those that were in that meeting and support the parents and just affirm what was happening. The word served is, I want to take you to heaven today in chapter 7 of Revelations. Heaven is an elevated place. If you look in the new, it's high elevation. So it can be, I believe, obviously up in the sky, but it also can be just being able to see from where Christ is in heavenly places, see from the new place that he is now dwelling, who he has become, what we have become in him, and learn to live. Because if we get stuck in life, you see, there's two things that happen. We'll either grow old and be full of expectancy and releasing and seeing in Christ everywhere, or we will grow old and become small and tight and frustrated and angry and, you know, upset and not able to see Christ anywhere. We get cynical. And God would have us, of the people of the planet, carriers of Jesus Christ, the most hopeful people in the planet, always in everything. Always able to see God is on the move, something wonderful is coming, Christ is going to be revealed, he's going to break into this moment, he's going to redeem, he's going to heal. But you don't get that message from the earth. You don't get it from the news, you don't get it from following the internet. You get it from the heavenly realm of where Christ sits on the throne in his place of rulership. John was on the Isle of Patmos, John the Beloved, and he starts having visions. A vision is where you and I begin to become impressed by the Holy Spirit in his language that he speaks in, visions and dreams, tongues, prophecy, the revealing of Christ in the Word, and he began to see. When we enter into seeing, we start to have the experience of what we're seeing. So soon he's being influenced by the sight. It's just practicing a going a little further than just observing something and walking away from it. And that's part of what we really want to equip all of us into, is the ability to go further and further into the realm of the Spirit so that we can pull from there our life, our identity, our assignment, and bring that into the life we're living. In 1998, Lord had spoken all these incredible promises of revival, and I was really excited and really in yielded pursuit and hunger. And I don't know how this happened, but I decided I wanted to find how to worship. I wanted to enter into the worship of heaven. So not knowing how to do that in any way, I just went to the book of Revelation, which includes I saw Becky with handing water out. I thought I'd take a drink too. Anybody want a water? Raise your hand. Becky will get you one. So what I did was I went to the book of Revelation, which records through the vision of John worship sessions in heaven. They're found in chapter 4 and 5, chapter 7, chapter 11, 15, 19. Where you hear, where is recorded, actual words being spoken to God, about God, declarations, and then the setting in which they were spoken or worshiped. And not knowing anything, I just started to, in my quiet time, go to each one of them. And it was funny because I would see myself kind of standing way in the back watching this experience happening. and the four living creatures, holy, holy, holy. And I'm just going, whoa, hearing the earth shake. And I'm just stepping into the observation of them. But I'm always far back. But as time has gone, I now see every one of those as though I'm right in the middle of them. Because the familiarity of experience allowed me to feel comfortable to be in the midst of it. And understanding what Christ has done compels me to be right there in the center of it, because that's where I am. My whole place in heavenly realms is with Christ. Our whole place in the presence of God is with Christ. So we actually are as close as we can be in any one of these settings. But I did that for a long time, to the point where I'd memorized all the songs that are recorded in heaven. So I didn't even need to use my Bible. I could just go and bring each one up. And I saw a lot of things that there was a progression of revelation. There was a progression of visitation. Like if you go to chapter 4 and you see all of God as creator, but then you go to chapter 5, you find that everything stopped going forward because no one could open the scroll. And so history or the future was stopped because of without redemption, there could be no more future. So creation stopped, and we needed a redeemer. Now the Lamb is the redeemer, and he takes the scroll. And now all of a sudden, once he's accomplished something, heaven worship breaks out. So you see then a pattern of not only it's a progressive revelation of Jesus Christ, but it's also that when Christ is seen, worship comes. And I heard this a long time ago from a great pioneer of worship. He said, praise is man's initiation into the presence of God. Come with thanksgiving, come with praise, come with joy. But worship is literally man's response to the revelation of Jesus Christ. When he reveals himself, all we can do is but worship. So with the revelation of Jesus, there would come worship. And with the worship, then there would come a release from heaven into the earth. And the next series of events would begin to unfold and break forth. All the way till we get to the New Jerusalem coming down and we see the new throne room and all of it. So in chapter 7, about a few years ago, the Lord began to really center me here. I do believe that Scripture is given for inspiration, edification, to step into equipping, experiencing, and I don't look at the book of Revelation like a chronological book. I look at it as a book of revelation. Well, I just look at it like it's written. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if I behold Jesus Christ in the revelation, I behold Jesus Christ. And therefore, I experience Jesus Christ inside this revelation. So I'm not looking at it like that's going to happen when this happens and that can't happen until that happens. I'm not bound in a chronological order. I'm unlocked into an experiential, a spiritual experiential as Holy Spirit, as truth, as I... You know, like Paul, like John did. He just kept going. And thank God we got his book and now we still study it. Okay, so Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. I want to launch this here really quick because I think it'll be a blessing to us. After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all the nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, verse 10, please, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It is so powerful. I could talk about that for a long time. All the angels stood around the throne, the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. A revelation of salvation, now comes worship. Saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Could just feel the eruption, the sound of this. Then one of the elders answered and said to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from? I said, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In the original Greek, there is no the great tribulation, as though there is the great and everything else is minor. As you know, all tribulation is great. You know, a sore nail is a great tribulation. In the midst of testing, trials, tribulation, there's a practice that we have to employ. We don't choose it. We don't want it. We actually try to avoid it. We'd rather change the circumstance so it's not necessary. But God sees fit that we need to become totally confident in one thing and one thing only, and that is the justification of Jesus Christ through the blood that he has given. That his blood answers all charges, all accusations, all sin. So if we fail, we need the blood. Someone betrays us, we need the blood. We go toward a desired outcome and it goes south, we need the blood. It's all through redemption. It's all returning to redemption. It's all recognizing Jesus Christ. He's the boldness, the confidence. How come I can come into the Holy of Holies? And that, beloved, is what we do all life long. Until somehow, someplace in God's sight, we become sustaining inside of that truth. It's not that we now become independent, and that's the whole lie. No, we are in the truth, which is we are completely dependent upon Jesus Christ. And we have now become confident and comfortable and assured and recognizing and wanting to just stand in this place. I believe this is a picture of an Anna and a Simeon generation that's coming for the next appearing of Jesus Christ, who are dwelling in the presence of God through the practice of just coming and saying, you know, Lord, what you've done now, I want to enter into. So he goes on and says, the elder, therefore they are before, verse 15, please, they are before the throne of God. See, if you practice the victory of Christ Jesus in your personal place of application, your soiled life, apply the blood. Christ is enough. He is all sufficient. You're striving, stop. No, Christ is the one who brings the fruition and brings the completion. I humble myself. That application causes us to become throne room dwellers, people who are more comfortable in the throne room of God and are no longer intimidated by the throes of this world. We begin to become more conscious of what is happening from where Christ is versus what is happening from where we live. And it is a powerful atmospheric capacity. We live from a heavenly realm. It'd be like if you took a vacation and went wherever. Let's say you went to Hawaii, you spent the 2 weeks for Christmas there, and you enjoyed the balmy weather, you enjoyed the warm water, you enjoyed whatever you enjoyed. You would come home, and the day you arrived back, you would still remember how warm the weather was and how warm the water is. And say you went and jumped in our water, and you go, eek, it's freezing, and it's brown. It's not even pretty. So but over time, because there is no other water in California except our coast, you would just get to know that brown water is, if you look at it a different way, it's kind of green. If you look at it long enough, it's blue. You might just kind of shift from that. So it is with being in the presence of God. You begin to become more conscious of that realm as being the place you live from and relate to, as it would be if you come from another part of the world. So it says they are before the throne of God and serve him. That's the same word that Anna was referred to, serve him. It literally means to minister to God. It could be practicals. It could be like making, like Martha made a meal for Jesus, or it could be, you know, adoring and worship like Mary would listen to his word. But it is serving him day and night in the temple. See, there's a temple in heaven. Everything that we had here is a shadow of what is real. And so now these are those who sit, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Now I want to shift to the word dwell, because it's a powerful, it's like to occupy a mansion. It's to occupy a place. And so he who sits on the throne is going to dwell with these who have become who have learned to be confident in what Christ is and Christ alone. They are settled in the work that he has done, and they are comfortable to be there, and they now dwell there, and he now dwells with them. The word dwell now is going to be found in Revelations chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 19. And it's also found in John, Gospel John, verse chapter 1, verse 12, which says, "And the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us." See, when Christmas is the celebration of God coming to earth to dwell among us. And we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. The Christmas story is God coming to earth, made flesh, dwelling among us, and we behold his one and only Son. The story that we're currently now in is Jesus raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, the firstborn among many brethren. And that glory that we behold is a unique and more transformational glory than the one we held of the little baby Jesus and the one and only Christ who went to the cross. And in the glory of the face of Jesus, in the face of Jesus, the glory of God is seen and the transformation takes place. So though we want to reference everything to the virgin birth, up into the cross, to the resurrection, to the ascension, to the Pentecost, we really have to look to the future. We have to look to who he is now and how he's functioning, which in heart, no different. And in fact, he's actually more active in ministry today than he was on the planet. Because he's, one, resurrected, glorified, victorious, triumphant, paid for sin, owns sin, heals anyone. He is the healed man, the first whole, healed, delivered, redeemed man. So he's totally in a better place. Holy Spirit came now to do all the work of what he accomplished in all of us, and he can do it simultaneously in everyone at the same moment personally. So he's active. So it says, they shall neither hunger, well, verse 15, let's back that up then. I'm sorry. So he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Just as Christ dwelt among us, now he dwells with them in this place in the throne room. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. Now I am German, English, American, more German than most of. And so I think very analytically. I think very like build a better automobile type thinking. And I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. I'm only doing this, God, because it's in the Bible. I'm just, you know, I'm just standing far off and watching the show. Okay, is it all right? It's okay. I feel the presence. I'm getting drawn in. And now I'm starting to be, you know, brought into the sound of it. I'm going, what is this? Are there people hungry in heaven? Do you need us to take an offering? Is there people thirsty in heaven? I didn't know that you had sun issues in heaven. Or there was a heating problem. You need AC. And I had to realize, no, that can't be heaven. That has to be the effect of those who dwell in heaven for the benefit of them as they walk through life. In other words, Jesus is beginning to appear in his church before he appears for his church. He begins to show up in a fashion that begins to affect everyone. And here's the reason it's ascribed to. Verse 17, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. That means feed them. And lead them to living fountains of water. Oh, you know, salvation never ends. There's more to discover with Jesus and yet to have ever been discovered. All of the church annals of history and moves of God and experiences are but a drop in the bucket of what is yet to be found and experienced and drank and received. And here this is, this glorious shepherd feeding us, leading us to fountains of living water, just like he spoke to the Samaritan woman. If you believe, you would drink, and fountains, you would be have fountains of living water. There's more than one fountain of living water. Because every experience with Jesus is a drink of Jesus. Every drink of Jesus becomes a fountain within you that you can return to and find life in. Oh, just think of that. Again, this is the effect of heaven to people on the earth. Because then God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Tears are the fountain gate of our emotions, of our life's experiences, of our traumas. Lately, my prayer is for all of us, Lord, wipe away the tears from our eyes and the trauma from our lives. Because journeys cost and they leave us confused, wounded, hurt, and we don't know how to proceed until the Lord takes it and wipes away. The word wipe away is the same Greek word found in Acts chapter 3 when Peter says he will for the remission of sins, he will blot away. He will blot away the remission of sins. The word remission is to blot out, to take, go to the origin of it with the anointing of it, remove it. Yeah. Yeah. So God, these worshipers who are practicing presence, living in, trying to practically apply the truth of Jesus Christ to their lives while not being able to change much of the lives around themselves, but are being changed in God, with God, the work of Christ, begin to have these experiences that we're moving with the Lamb, that we're being helped by the Lamb, that we're having, you know, a moment of a tear-wiping experience with God removes a lifetime of trauma. A lifetime of trauma that can be not removed any other way. So chapter 8, really quick, because we got to close. Slunch. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were now given seven trumpets. We step into the next session. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came, stood at this altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So our prayers now have ascended and growth, and there is now this worship that comes out of it. But it says the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer. See, first the worship, now comes what happens to the earth. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. You see, the time a revival or an awakening touches the planet, it has already been being experienced by a few who have been ministering to God before the throne, who have found a dwelling place with God as he dwelt with them, who have been learning to walk with the Lamb, to be drinking of water that no one else yet is drinking, eating of things in life, being healed, being set free, and all of a sudden at some point the ascendancy of that experience becomes enough for God to say, let's let it hit the earth. Chapter 11 is the same story. I can't take you through that. But let me take you to one verse. It says, It's almost a sin not to read more. Therefore, rejoice. Chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens. And you who dwell in them. Now you could say, oh, that's all the people that died and went to heaven. I'm pretty sure that's true. I'd hope so. But I read somewhere there was a guy named Enoch. You spend so much time with God, God just said, you know, why don't you just stay here with me? Why not we just won't even deal with you dying. There was you don't think so linear. Don't think so like these hard lines and everything. There's a hard line about salvation. There's no other name given among men whereby which we must be saved. But after that, you get to explore the beautiful truth of the Word of God and experience it. And here these guys, and those who dwell in them. Now, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil's come down to you, because he was thrown down from the second heaven, and he's having great wrath because he knows he has a short time. Could it be possible that the more you and I are forced to live from a heavenly realm, a place in God that we find in the secret place, where we are kept from in the pavilion, out of the strife of tongues, where we have an inhabitation, a place prepared for us that we learn to go to and live in and reference our life from, where our sonship, our identity, where we grow that. We just grow that. Maybe first starts by interest. Most of us begin with the desire and then are chased by the devil into there. Right? We get a vision, and the devil just makes sure, God lets the devil hang around enough that we're not letting go of this experience. But here we are, and we're growing. And now all of a sudden things break out in hell. Hell just takes over the planet. Talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he said he's done he'll often ask questions to get people's first response as a way to help open their heart and their imagination. And he said, I'll ask people, first word, give me the first word you have for the earth, the world we're in right now. And he says, and I'm thinking, are you going to ask me that? Because I just got a word, and I hate to be not a part of the majority. But he said, no, he didn't do that. He just said, he went on to say, everybody wants to say chaos. It's chaotic. It's in chaos. And I thought to myself, that's so funny, because I thought about it since yesterday. The word I heard, peace. And I thought, well, that certainly isn't from what I'm seeing, but it is from where I'm seeing. The peace of God will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. It is the peace of God that's soon going to crush Satan. So I go, whoa, I'm being more influenced now by this place. So therefore, that's how you start to have a group of people just being swept back and forth, and like water on the sea with the wind hitting it, and others that are just rooted in heavenly places, seated there and holding their place. Verse chapter 13, just so you can see, I'm just opening some ideas. Verse 7, chapter 13, this is a whole effect going on. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. No, verse 6, sorry. It's fine. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. God is training us to become impenetrable, to impervious, to bring us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We're being chased there, maybe. We have desire there. We engage, then we get knocked out, but we keep coming back. We're learning to hold a place. Why? Because verse 20, chapter 21, and then we're done. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is after the millennial reign of Christ. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no more sea. Chapter 21, verse 2 now. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Chapter 20, verse 2, please. Coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. There it is again. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. This is the dream of God from the beginning. When he put Adam and Eve in a garden, says, I want to have time with you every day. I'll walk in the garden and we'll co-regent together. It's the same thing he said to Moses. I want you to build a tabernacle like the one I have in heaven, because I want to dwell with my people. It's the same thing that happened in the temple when it was built by Solomon. It began to be a place of habitation so God could dwell among his people. And it came, so God came to dwell among us in his son. And now through his son's resurrection, we can dwell with him. And we're learning this. We're practicing it. That's all prayer is a practice of the truth of Christ into a life that I'm living. And how far we dare to believe is up to us and the Holy Spirit's help. Chapter 20. Look. Verse 4. I'm sorry. I still get so excited about this. And God will wipe away every tear and their eyes, from their eyes, there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." You want to, there is the one line statement of a successful prayer session. Behold, I make all things new. All sin is removed, shame is removed, reproach is removed, heaviness, doubt, fear, unbelief. It's just all gone. I made all things new. Verse 20, chapter 22, and I'll close, I promise. There's no more chapters after this, so you're safe. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. You see, these things are here present. They're in presently in the place of God's dwelling. In the midst of it, street on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve. That's Anna. That's Anna. That's Anna. That's you. That's me. Practicing to learn, to dwell, not to depart, not to give ourselves to this place that Christ has prepared. And they shall see his face. That's what we're practicing, trying to see. They shall see his face, and his name shall be written on their forehead. Oh, Lord. Yes. 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 Let's stand together. We're going to pray and bless the lunch. Lord, I believe that you are built in Jubilee and uniquely and throughout the globe, all universally, a company of people that have felt a beckoning to dwell in the midst of you, to come and behold you, to take what you have accomplished and apply it experientially, to find that the blood is sufficient and we have not to be ashamed or accused are driven from our place, that we are given a place in Christ to which we worship from. We do that right now, just with your heart right now. Thank the Lord for the place he's prepared for you, that you are accepted and welcomed in the presence of God, that we thank you, Jesus. Lord, where our lives have fallen short, we thank you that you paid for us to be forgiven and delivered and healed and made whole. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. You alone have made us accepted in the beloved. We cannot enter into heaven without you, and we will not be thrown out of heaven because of you. We are given a place in the presence of God. Shara mohoko. We are a people of God, given a place to be with God so that God can be with us. We worship you. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of warfare for a moment for each of you. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, we now declare that the blood of the Lamb has given us victory to the accuser. We declare right now in the name of Jesus that the testimony of his victory in our life gives us a place of victory in this life. We're not driven from our place. We do not love our life that we're living because the Holy Spirit's giving us another life to live. We let go of the life that we're losing to gain the life that we're being given in Christ. We move out of where we're stuck into where we are unlimited in scope with Christ. And we worship. and we praise and we choose to identify. This is who we are. We're not known by whether this happened or that happened or we're this or we're that. We're known by Jesus Christ. Come on up higher. Come on up higher. You are known. I am known. We are known by Christ. No charge brought against us because the Father has justified us. No condemnation laid against us because Jesus died for us, was raised from the dead, is seated at the right hand of God, and is making intercession for us. And nothing separating us from the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. Whoa, Shahamaha. Now here's the picture, and I'm going to bless our food. In heaven, I stand and freely move because I'm in Christ, with Christ, and Christ is over me. I practice that every time I'm there, so I don't think I'm doing it on my merit, and I don't get scared of being there. I'm here with you, Jesus, in the scripture, in the spirit, in the presence. Now I want you to just step into Christ right where you are. All that he has done, all that he has accomplished, all that he ever will bring forth, you're now there by faith. He's not only a heaven suit, he's an earth suit. We're about to go have lunch together and we're going to walk into this day in Christ, allowing his love, his joy, his peace, his healing to carry us into the day. We're going to go with the blessing that God has given us because Jesus has saved us, and carry the victory that he has freely demonstrates in heaven to then find ways for it to find release and blessing to others on the earth. We're in Christ. Lord, bless us now as we step from where we see in scripture to where we're about to go have lunch. Bless the hands that prepared the most ultimate Italian luncheon on the planet. Bless the crazy prophetic Christmas play when we have these encounters. Bless our prayer time tomorrow with new encounters. Create in us this fullness of what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Blessings.